during the...
What kind of prescription medication do you take?
None.
What about yesterday?
Nothing.
And the judge knows.
Really?
There's more than meets the eye.
I like to drink, but...
It's beginning to fry your brain.
You don't know me, so you really can't judge me. Well, you're a judge, so you can judge me, but...
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 22-year-old Jacob Paskey is suing his ex-boyfriend, 24-year-old J.T. Welch, for breaking his cell phone and laptop and for punching holes in the walls of his home.
Order. All rise.
United States case number 229 on the calendar in the matter of Paskey versus Welch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. Paskey, Mr. Welch was your former boyfriend, and according to your complaint, he owes you some money from a 2010 accident that he had with your car. In addition to that, he did some damage to the walls in your apartment that you're responsible for and broke some of your property. He wanted to compensate you for that. Mr. Welch said that you did, in fact, have an argument, but there was no assault. Mr. Welch says that he did, in fact, have an accident with your car in 2010, but he gave you $900 towards the repairs on the car, and he feels as if he's more than compensated you for that. So let's start with the car. Let's take care of that first. That accident was in 2010. Clearly, it was your fault because you paid for it. And the damage to your car, which according to you was just a bumper that was damaged on your car.
That is correct.
And he's given you $900. What else do you think he owes you for?
The total damage to the other party was a total of $1,800.
That would have been covered under your liability.
He didn't have insurance at the time, Your Honor.
The only insurance I had was through my bank with the loan I held. I didn't have insurance for the car at the time in the state. It wasn't necessary.
Of course, you have to have liability insurance on a car. You don't have to have collision, but you have to have liability, which means that if you hit somebody else and your car is damaged, they're not going to pay for your car, but they would pay for the other person's car. Did you let the insurance lapse?
No, ma'am.
Well, I don't understand that. Then why wouldn't it cover the other car?
On the police report here, they have the lien holder down with the insurance on here. It was not covered under the bank's insurance.
Let me take a look at this report that you have. Maybe I'm not understanding something. Am I correct, Officer Byrd? In most jurisdictions, you are required to have, if you drive a car, liability insurance in the event you cause an accident and another car is damaged or another person is damaged.
Right.
You don't have to have collision insurance, which means that if you damage your car, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So you would have to have insurance.
Sure. It was under the bank again.
Not under the bank. It's your car.
Sure.
I mean, true. Of course it's true.
I do have receipts that the money I paid out of pocket for that money order receipts.
I don't care whether you paid out of pocket for it, sir. The question is, if you didn't have appropriate insurance, that's your problem. I don't see anything here about insurance.
On the front page there, Baraboo National.
You didn't have insurance. Next. What's next?
I'm also suing for the damage to my cell phone and the laptop and the hole in my wall, Your Honor.
Great. Cell phone. Tell me about it.
I was in an altercation with Welch. He asked for money to buy a prescription from the hospital. I did not give him money for that. He then went and kicked me in the head 3 times, Your Honor. Also damaged my cell phone.
Would you tell me about the cell phone?
Yes, ma'am.
I said, tell me about the cell phone.
That's when he kicked the cell phone out of my hand, and it damaged the screen on my cell phone here.
I'd like to see it.
Your Honor, he had threw that phone at me when I had left the house that morning. I have the original police statement from that morning.
I'd like to see it.
It talks about...
Just a second, I can read. So what you're telling me is he threw the cell phone at you.
Yeah.
That is correct, Your Honor. That is not correct, Your Honor.
I'm just going to read this. Why did you give this to me? Where does it say he threw the cell phone?
No, it's just a police report from that morning. And it
says, what'd you give it to me for? It says he spoke to the police that day. Immediately after, he told the police that you had kicked the cell phone out of his hand. The police observed the broken cell phone. He also complained about injuries.
Charges from that day? and they were all dismissed.
I don't care.
One of them was the criminal damage to property regarding this awful.
Because she came to civil court. Did you have a trial?
I was legally charged.
Did you have a trial?
No, I did not have a trial.
And you had a prior assault case?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So what'd you let him back in the house for?
He said he was going to go to therapy, which he did, and I was with...
I got the answer. Oh, well, on May 22nd, you actually told him at that point that he had thrown the phone at you and denied that any physical altercation.
Yeah. It also says that the police officer had observed the side of his face that he alleged that I kicked him on and saw no injury.
That's correct.
There was no physical marks on my face, but he did kick me in the face 3 times.
Did you go to the doctor?
No, ma'am.
Okay, let's go on to something else. We now have the car that you're not getting any money for because he gave you $900. I'm confused about the phone.
Yes, ma'am.
The only thing that I'm not confused about is when somebody has behaved in a violent manner towards you and they're out on bond on an assault case, you don't let them move back into the house. Okay, what's next?
Condition.
You want to tell me about the computer?
The computer was also damaged in the first incident there. You can see on the screen here, he broke it by punching it.
Well, you don't even mention the computer.
No, ma'am.
You spoke to the police.
Yes, ma'am.
Why?
Because I didn't notice it at the time. He punched it.
That was 6 o'clock in the morning when this took place, and
Mr.
I
Welch,
never touched his laptop.
Mr. Welch, what kind of prescription medication do you take?
At that time, it was...
No, not at that time. Today.
Nothing.
What about yesterday?
Nothing.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Really. I like to drink, but...
Mr. Welch, if what you're telling me is, because you're gathering from my silence, that I don't believe that you are in tight control of what's going on with your mind, and if it's not drugs, prescription or otherwise, and if what you're telling me is that it's alcohol, it's beginning to fry your brain.
Okay.
I hear it. Get yourself some help. You're 24 years old.
Okay. That's your opinion.
Sadly, my opinion's the only one that counts here.
Yeah, it is, but you don't know me, so you really can't judge me.
I'm not judging you.
Well, you're a judge, so you can judge me, but, you know, I do have a past of drug abuse, but I was on probation for 5 years, and I passed successfully, and I'm doing fine to date.
Well, it was in May of 2012 that you weren't doing so fine.
That prescription was a prescription for painkillers for broken fingers.
It's over. Done. Finished. I don't know whether he kicked the phone or you threw the phone. You don't mention that in your police report. You have no injuries as a result of any assault. Police officers saw no bruising on your body, sought no medical assistance. At best, it was an attempted assault, if in fact he did put his hands on you. Now, have you seen him since all this started?
No, ma'am.
Is that right?
There was one time that I tried to stop by the house after the no contact had been dropped to gather my belongings. Since February of 2012, all my belongings are at his residence that I can't even go near. And I've been trying to get my belongings. I've been working with the captain of the Juneau County Sheriff's Department trying to get my belongings, and he's been uncooperative with that.
Do you have any of his property in your house?
I have a bag of clothes, Your Honor.
Why don't you tell him where you want him to send the clothes?
He can drop them off at my mom's house or mail them to my mother's house.
Do you know where his mother lives?
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you just drop them off?
There's also quite a bit of furniture that is there, and 75% of the belongings in that home are mine.
Can't help you, sir. I don't have a counterclaim. And perhaps one of the reasons that he's not forthcoming with doing that is because he feels annoyed over the rest of the stuff. You want to get into the damage to the apartment?
Yes, Your Honor.
Go.
That happened back in May.
Same incident?
Yes, ma'am.
Same time?
Yes, ma'am. I have a couple photos, Your Honor, from the hole that he punched in my wall.
Is this a rental that you live in?
No, ma'am.
What is it?
It's a mobile home that I purchased.
We purchased it together, but I was on probation at the time and put it in his name, so...
When you say you purchased it together, what does that mean?
We paid $500 a week for 10 weeks for $5,000.
Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you both participated for the mobile home?
For the original purchase, yes, Your Honor.
Goodbye.
These are excuses. You may step out.
There was a couple knives stabbed into the wall there when I got home from work. He told me that some ghosts threw them at the wall.
I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know what he's alleging with that.
Then a couple days later, he sobered up and told me that he put him there, but he didn't recollect why.
Well, yeah, I do like drinking. I still do today, so.
You know, he's been addicted to drugs for quite a long time now, and his family's not there to support him, and
I try to make me look bad.
I tried to stand there by his side, but nothing came of it, so.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Nunn versus Sandbrand. Step forward, please.
Jefferson Nunn is suing his former landlord, Michael Sandbrand, for the return of rent and security deposit, hotel costs, and trespassing.
Mr. Nunn.
Yes.
You rented a small apartment.
Yes.
From the defendant.
Yes.
You rented it online.
Yes, through Craigslist.
And it is your claim that you moved out relatively quickly because the defendant, who owns the premises, entered the apartment illegally, did some rummaging around in the apartment. You felt unsafe there, so you left. You want your security deposit back. You want prorated rent back, plus a lot of other nonsense that I'm not dealing with, like stress and whatever. That's your problem. I have my own stress.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You also looked in the drawers.
Yeah, I was looking for a screwdriver. But that's it. I'm not going in to snoop or steal anything.
Just a second.
If I was trying to sneak, I'd go in late at night.
Mr.
I don't.
Mr. Sandbrand, are you trying to talk over me? Is there something wrong with you?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Jefferson Nunn says former landlord Michael Sandbrand trespassed in his apartment. He is suing for the return of rent and security deposit and hotel costs.
Mr. Sandbrand, on what date did Mr. Nunn contract to rent your apartment?
Well, we've been contacting each other by email towards the end of March, and then he arrived at my place on the 1st to...
On the 1st of?
April.
Did you have a lease with him?
I usually do. Do a written agreement, but this time...
Did you have a written lease with him?
Did not, no. It's just...
Okay.
Terms were
what
by
was,
email.
What was the rent?
$500.
Did he give you a security deposit?
Yes.
How much?
$300.
And when did you move in?
I moved in on the 31st.
On the 31st of March?
Yes. And the rent was $585, Your Honor.
Did you pay him $585?
Yes, I did.
Is that correct?
I think so. Could I add something? When he showed up and we were talking and communicated by email...
I just want to know whether the rent was $585.
Yes, it might have been $585, but it's for one person, and then he showed up with his wife or girlfriend.
I don't care.
Which he didn't bother to mention.
I don't care. The apartment didn't get larger or smaller, right? And you didn't have a written lease which indicated that it was only for him, correct? And you took his $585, correct?
Yes.
And you took his $300, correct?
Yes.
When did you move out?
I moved out on the 5th.
Of April?
Yes.
Tell me why.
Because Mr. Sandbrand, I found out, entered the room. On the evening of the 4th, when I got home with my wife, we go into the guest house. And we find that there's a few things out of the ordinary. One, my wife's underwear bag had been opened. The second is that there's a trash can that we've never seen before. So I go inside the house, the main house, where Terry is, and I asked him, was somebody in my room?
You live in the main house, sir?
Yes, I do.
What is your name?
Terry McDonald.
Is he also your landlord?
Yes, he is.
How long has he been your landlord?
A few months.
You still there?
Yes.
Okay, so you had a conversation with Mr. Nunn?
Yes.
Tell me what the conversation was, sir.
He had asked me that he said someone had been in his apartment, and did I know anything about it? And I said, well, I was leaving the house earlier, and I went by his apartment, and I saw Mike in there, and I stopped, and I said, what's up? And he said, well, I'm just doing some stuff. Jefferson said I could come in.
Jefferson, is that you?
Yes.
And I question him because he's done so many things in the past that are just not reasonable, not legal. I wanted to know what he was doing in there.
Okay, you can have a seat now, sir.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He could have stayed and used the whole rest of his month. I would have no future reason to go into the room again.
How does he know that?
He gave me no 30-day notice either.
He doesn't have to give you 30 days notice. You've stuck your hands in his drawers.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Jefferson Nunn says former landlord Michael Sandbrand trespassed in his apartment. He is suing for the return of rent and security deposit and hotel costs.
So what were you doing in there, Mr. Sandbrand, on the 4th?
I changed the faulty smoke detector, which was pretty obvious that needed to be done because the wires were hanging and I didn't want him to sleep with a constantly beeping detector. And then he brought up one of the blinds or shades didn't work. So I had to walk between their two mattresses to get to the window to see why it wasn't
working. Did you fix the blinds?
I fixed it just a year ago.
So you didn't fix it?
And he, by then...
You didn't fix it?
I did not fix it. I looked at it first.
So you didn't fix it. Did you fix the smoke detector?
Yes, that I did.
Okay, was that fixed when you came in?
I guess so.
You fixed the smoke detector.
Correct. And this was mentioned in an email. I wish I had it, but it deleted because it got too old, saying... I'm going to go in your room with permission, and the next 2 to 3 days when I'm in town.
Listen to me, sir. If you had it, I would look at it. Don't tell me what it said if you don't have it. Do you understand?
I understand.
Perfect.
He was literally begging for me to come in and check the room, so I can't check it from outside.
What else did you do other than fix the smoke detector and look at the blinds?
That was pretty much it.
Not pretty much.
And I put the waste can in for their convenience, like he said.
Waste can?
Yes.
Okay.
In the bathroom.
Now, you also looked in the drawers.
Yeah, I was looking for a screwdriver because I didn't have it, so I can change the smoke detector. But that's it. I'm not going in to snoop or steal anything.
Just a second.
If I was trying to sneak, I'd go in late at night.
Mr. Sandbrand, are you trying to talk over me? Is there something wrong with you?
No, I'm just trying to make my point.
No, I want you to listen to me. If you were going in to fix a smoke detector, because that's the only thing that you would need a screwdriver for, correct?
Yes.
Because nothing else that you did in there, bringing in a waste paper basket and looking at blinds, did not require a screwdriver. So the only thing that required a screwdriver was the smoke detector.
Correct.
And you were going to fix that. How were you going to fix it? Did it need a new smoke detector?
Completely, yeah. And I had to change the backplate because the wiring was different.
So you knew that you had to...
safety issue.
You're talking. So you knew that you had to do that when you went into his unit, correct?
Yes.
Why didn't you bring a screwdriver? That's the only thing you went in for, to fix the smoke detector.
The blind.
Checking the blinds did not require a screwdriver,
sometimes.
Sir. No. And putting a waste paper basket down did not require a screwdriver. So what you were going in to fix was a smoke detector. And the smoke detector did require a screwdriver. So what were you looking through his drawers for a screwdriver when you should have had your own?
I didn't think I would need it. I thought I would just twist on and twist off the new one. But it needed more than just that.
You can't go through his drawers. And even if there was some indication that he gave you permission, which I don't see, to enter his apartment, Mr. Sandbrand, you can enter his apartment, but you can't go through his drawers to look for something. Even if it's something as innocuous as a screwdriver, which I'm not so sure about.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Have you been cheated? Go to JudgeJudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, he felt uncomfortable, his wife felt uncomfortable, and they said, we're leaving. There was no other reason for them to leave other than the fact that they felt uncomfortable. I mean, the place was in good condition, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he had moved in, didn't he?
Yes, and he saw the condition before he paid.
And he gave you money, didn't he?
Of course.
So there would be no other reason for him to say, I'm not feeling good here, other than the fact that you went in and you went through the drawers in his house.
Yeah, but he could have stayed and used the whole rest of his month. I would have no future reason to go into the room again.
How does he know that? He had no valid reason to go into his drawers once. So you have to give him back his money, his security deposit and his rent.
He gave me no 30-day notice either.
He doesn't have to give you 30 days notice. You trespassed on his property. You've stuck your hands in his drawers. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Great.
So it doesn't matter. He begged me.
585 and 300. Thank you very much. That's all.
Thank you, Ron.
Is our excuse. You may step up.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy. What happened when they were alone?
He wasn't home, and the only two people were home said, I don't know nothing. I wasn't there.
I'm respectful to his daughter. I love her, and I did not do this. This is crazy.
Judge Judy.
Next on WBZ-TV.
He threw a tantrum that I went to his room when he literally begged me to come in and check on what needed to be fixed. He never once asked me if it's okay to enter the premises because I need to panic like the roof was caving down or like I have nothing better to do than go through someone's stuff and touch their belongings. And I certainly didn't give him permission to go through my wife's underwear. But of course, they didn't mention that when he gave me the rent that it was for the two of them. We'd gone into the house and found the underwear bag was open, and we found that our stuff had been gone through. But instead of being thankful that I allowed twice as many people, then he turns around and sues me. Well, I'm happy with the decision. I'm glad that justice was done.